You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on the Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show is Jace. And our sponsors today, Millennium Marine, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, Bayou City Angler, the Belleville Meat Market, Angler U, and Boyd's One Stop. All right. Galveston weather this morning, 74 down on the island. And looks like sunny skies today with a high of 82, east-northeast winds 10 to 15. And then for tonight, clear skies with a low of 74, south-southeast winds returning 5 to 10. And then for tomorrow, mainly sunny with a high of 84, east-southeast winds 10 to 20. And that looks pretty good. No chance of rain whatsoever, but dry and a little breezy at times. Looking at... tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions, and we have two of them. We had a low occur. Well, it will occur later today at 1:58 p.m. It's coming off that high last night at 9:54. It's a negative 0.1, so it'll be about a little over a 2-foot tide change, but the high at 11:30 p.m. tonight, it'll come up 2.1 feet. 7:18 a.m. at sunrise, 6:53 p.m. sunset. And our moon phase right now is 82%, coming off that big harvest moon this month. Man, what a beautiful moon that was when we had the full ones for a couple of nights. But looking around the Galveston complex, winds are pretty much out of the kind of east-northeast, 17 at the North Jetty, 16 at Eagle Point, north-northeast at about 8 up around Morgan's Point, and around Tiki Island, 14 out of the east, and the pass down to San Luis Pass is 10 out of the northeast, so not nearly as strong as yesterday morning about this time, but we'll see if they come up or lay on down pretty quick today. All right, well, Bill Watkins is out of cell phone range, and we're going to just have to put up with the old fish dude this morning. We're going to take off with him first. Oh, Richard Tosh up on Lake Conroe. Let's see what he's doing this morning. Good morning, Richard. What's up, buddy?
Not a lot, Mickey. How are you doing this morning?
I couldn't be better. It's all good after too much baseball last night. A game like killed me. 15 innings. Just no rest for the weary, baby.
I heard that, brother. I heard that. There's goodness. No doubt. I tell you what, this weather sure is nice, though.
Isn't it?
Man, I tell you what, I left the house this morning, got in the truck, said 57.
And
I'm sitting here, man, that's, I know. And then sitting here at the marina at 64 and dry too. That's like yesterday was out. And Man, the whole morning was just gorgeous. I mean, dang it. That low humidity was just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, it made everything just feel good. So, it, even though it warmed up, it just didn't get hot like it had been. So,
right.
It's finally fall anyway, so that's a good thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, but I tell you what, the thing, you're talking about no rain in sight. I mean, that's something that's needed and pretty bad all over the state, I think, you know, because I know over there in Central Texas, it's pretty dry. They hadn't had any significant rain in a while. So the oats that I planted and stuff over there, it's up, but it's not, you know, it's not doing what it should be because everything dried up. And then over here, I was just looking at the lake level. We're almost at a foot low now. So it's steady dropping over here on the lake.
But yeah, I think Livingston's getting closer to a foot. It's about 3/4, you know, of the way. It's just under a foot below pool too, so
yeah.
And that was a quick turnaround. It was so wet all year, and just, you know, it was unbelievable, and look how dry everything is now.
Man, I'll tell you what, it's crazy. But it, you know, the thing is, I'm just glad we did get that summer rain, you know. That's that kind of, because I, you know, like I say, I'm looking at antler growth on these deer too, so some of that summer rain helps out a lot with that. And that's
right.
You know, after last year's hunting experiences, I mean, I just didn't see near the antlers growth that I was expecting to see last year. And hopefully this year it turns out a little bit better. You know, I hadn't really looked at any of my pictures or anything. So I hadn't had any cards in my cameras and all that good stuff. And then
well, that kind of makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Cards in them, man.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing. So, and then just like, you know, I finally got some of those cameras where I can view them remotely, but they're not hooked up, but at the house. So all I'm seeing is squirrels and stuff like that. So you got to get them out there in the field to see any true wildlife anyway. But I got a couple of them squirrels that are running around up there pretty regular. So it's just one of them things, you know. I get to, like, on these remote cameras, it's one of those deals where I've been hesitant to change over and use them and all that good stuff. But it's technology, right?
The older we get, the less we like change when it comes to stuff like that.
I know. Yeah. Isn't it crazy? But when it, you know, when it comes to those cameras, they're, you know, they're really useful. You know, that's like, I get people all the time say, well, how do you know which one you're going to get? Well, so I see a lot of them on camera, for one, but you know, it's funny when you look at them on camera like that, a lot of your big ones never show up. You'll never see them. So it's just kind of a catch 22, you know. Got that buddy of mine in Arkansas, I go up there and hunt with him every once in a while. You know, he says, this is all I've been seeing on camera. And I mean, it's consistent. Well, I promise you, there's some more out there. They just stay, they won't come into where you got your camera set up, because typically you're going to set them by a feeder and stuff like that. But, you know, they're just out there, just out of range. They hang on the edges and you'll never see them. And then all of a sudden one day, you're sitting out there hunting, and one pops up that you hadn't seen before, and it's like, okay, that's a good thing. It's like yesterday, I stopped by picking up some metal and stuff like that for a couple of little projects I got going, and I was in this guy's office. I go, man, how big is that deer? 260, I think he said 264.
Good
so
Lord.
That's, I mean, I know that was a giant boy. He had, you know, and he didn't. You know, you'd think he would be all kind of funky looking, but he just, you know, he was had some really nice main beams, real tall tines, and he had some hooks on his like G3s and 4s. So it was it was a neat looking deer. I tell you what, it's one of those things, because, like, you know, some people are into all that funky looking stuff. I'm not me.
I'm more of a typical, you know, rack hunter.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong, big, giant, not non-typical walks out, I'm going to smoke him, you know, but you know what I mean.
Exactly. That's the thing, you know, and it's, you know, just like with anything else. So it's kind of whatever appeals to you, you know.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, I mean, if you think he's a, it's a trophy, whether it be a fish or a deer or whatever it is, that's what you need to take. If it's something that appeals to you, you know, and that's the biggest thing, because so many people say, well, that's a small one. Well, maybe so, but to the person that got it, it may be the biggest thing they've ever seen in their life.
Exactly.
You know? So, I mean, one, that's the whole point, you know, just getting that addiction going, you know, and once you start getting into it, you know, especially like bow hunting, you know, bow hunting, a lot of times you don't get giant animals because you're not patient enough to sit there and wait. But just getting one with a bow, especially traditional, you know, like whether it be a compound bow or a long bow, you take and get one of the animal with one of those, you're talking about less than 50 yards. I mean, that's, you got
to
get, you,
yeah, it's hard enough
to
get a big deer close enough for rifle range, much less bow range. I mean, my hat's off to these bow hunters. They're very patient. Well, they're different.
I used to be one of them. I loved it. I'll tell you what, it's one of those things that as you get older, you can't pull them bows back anymore. That's what kills
I'm telling
me. You know,
my shoulder will pop out of socket.
that's exactly right.
Oh, wouldn't that hurt? Oh, boy.
You're not kidding. I mean, goodness, it's crazy. Because, like, you know, I had a Matthews Reason, the 6.5 Reason was my last bow that I had. And man, I love that thing. It was a tack driver as long as you could pull it back because it had a 70-pound draw on it. And it's, you know, when I was younger, I could pull that 70 pounds with no problem. But as you get older, it gets tougher and tougher and tougher. That's when you're going to get down into them crossbows. And now that crossbow's a whole different story. I mean, that rascal, you can crank on them. They got hand cranks where you pull them back and stuff like that instead of having to stick them down there and hold them with your feet and then pull them with your hands and shoulders and stuff. So that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah,
anyway.
I need to get a hand crank for mine. I need to get a kit for that and put it on there because it's getting a little more difficult to reach down there and pull it back now.
That's me. I'll tell you what, my wife got me a crossbow a few years ago, and I said, you know, I like it and everything, but you might as well take it back because I'm not ever going to use it. It doesn't have a hand crank on it, and I just can't pull it back. I mean, 150-pound pull on those things, I mean, good night. Them rascals, that's you're playing tug-of-war right there, and I'm not into that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, like, whenever you get used to shooting them things, a 60-yard shot with a crossbow is a pretty common shot. I mean, it's not a you don't lose much in elevation like you do with a regular bow, and that's what's funny about them, because they're just different enough to where you can make longer, more accurate shots with them, but it takes a little bit of getting used to, just because, you know, it seems like a rifle, but it's not. You know, it's one of those things. And, you know, like when I first started bow hunting years ago, one of the first things everybody told me says, never shoot one that's looking at you, or never attempt to shoot one that's looking at you. And I thought, if I get the right situation, I can shoot him right there between his shoulder blades, you know, and I'll get him right down the center of his chest, down his throat. And sure enough, I'm sitting out there in Lano, and I'm just up in a tree I'm only about 12, 15 feet off the ground, sitting literally above my deer feeder, which was sitting on top of a hill. And I'm, you know, I've got deer coming all around me. I mean, they're everywhere. And I see this one coming up. It wasn't nothing but a spike. And I thought, well, you know, my first bow kill, that would be a good one to take out right there, because he was an older spike, stuff like that. And I'll tell you what, he was coming up the side of this hill, coming right towards me, and he's looking around, and he just stopped about 15 yards out. And I'm sitting there thinking, I can get him. He's looking right at me, but I can get him. You know, as long as I can get drawn back where I know he doesn't see me, then I can get that. I can make that shot. I went to draw back on that rascal, and he never saw me. And I said, okay, that's good. And I'm sitting there, got all dialed in and released. And as soon as I released, that son looked right up at me, he never picked his feet up. He never jumped or anything. He just leaned over to one side, and the arrow stuck in the ground right there beside him. And I said, I'll be darned.
He was faster than the arrow, quicker than the arrow, man.
It was amazing to see because everything went in slow motion. I mean, I could see that arrow flying right at him. And I go, I got you. And just about that, just before it got there, he just leaned to the side and the arrow stuck in the ground. It's like, I'll be darned. I would have never in my wildest dreams guessed one could do that.
Let me draw back on this commercial break, Richard. I'll be right back at you, man. Hang on a second.
Okay.
All right. Well, folks, come out to the Galveston Fishing Extravaganza at the Galveston County Fairgrounds in Hitchcock, Texas. That's Friday, October 17th from 2 to 8 p.m., Saturday, October 18th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Sunday, the 19th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., boats, vendors, food trucks, kids zones, RVs, and more. Free parking, $10 wristbands are good for all weekend long. The Galveston Fishing Extravaganza. Don't miss it.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 420 here in the Bayou City. All right, Richard Tosh, we are back, my friend.
Good deal, good deal.
Hey, what kind of broadheads, when you bow hunted a lot, what kind of broadheads did you use?
I got to where I was, trust me, I tried a lot of different ones. I went with mechanical, and then ultimately I ended up with the fixed blade and that Magnus Stinger and Buzz Cut. Those were the ones that I loved. I mean, that every time, like a lot of people use like, what I think they were G3s or G5s, whatever they were, that they were so sharp. I mean, they would cut through, and I think they'd actually seal back off. With that Magnus, with those broadheads, there's a two-blade fixed broadhead, and it has.
What is that kind of like
there.
A muzzy?
Yeah, kind of like a muzzy, but it's different. Years ago, Ted Nugent used to shoot them all the time. That was one of his that he promoted a lot back I mean, years ago. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what he promotes anymore, but I would always take those, and for some reason, I never had any issues with any of them. I mean, I had one deer at one point, and I think maybe my broadhead may have been unscrewed from the shaft of my arrow a little bit, but it actually just snapped off right there where it screwed into the arrow itself.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only one I've ever had any issues with. And as far as animals getting away, that didn't happen. I mean, I've had some mechanicals, because I used those stilettos for a long time, and they were a two-blade fixed mechanical. Yeah. And the problem with them is every time you break a, or you hit a rib, it breaks a blade. So it's, and you're going
to
hit a rib.
You're
supposed
to be so good you don't hit a rib, man. You got to get between them. You got to
I know it.
Placement.
I know it. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I got to where, you know, I was into so many different broadheads there for a long time, and it was always the mechanicals. There was always something that would come up, something that would happen that I just didn't like about them. And so I went with the fixed blades, and like I say, that Magnus, it was a Stinger, and the Stinger Buzz Cut was a two that I typically use. The Buzz Cut basically had a serrated edge on it, and the Stinger was just a straight, you know, it's a razor type blade. And I would always grind the tips down, though. You know, I'd round that tip off. A lot of people wanted that sharp tip on there, but what I found is that if you flatten that off, you know, just take a little file and round it off, and then kind of sharpen up that point so it's a blunt point, it breaks bone better rather than, you know, sticking in it and then trying to split it when it hits bone. It'll snap it in half when it hits. So you get all that inertia going, and when it hits it'll stop an animal quick. I promise you. That's one of the things about it. So that's, you know, that's all. You know, I still got. I gave my bow to my son, so I'd let him have it. Let him go through all that process, and he's got all my broadheads and arrows and everything else. So it's one of those things. Like I say, I've tried so many of them over the years, and I've seen some really good ones out there. I think it's that Rage. That's a mechanical one. And I think that was a pretty neat little.
That's what
thing
I use on my crossbow bolts is a Rage.
Yeah. See, that Rage was, I always thought that was a good one, but even for a crossbow, I think that Magnus would be a great broadhead to use. I mean, it's just I've always been successful with it. You know, everybody has their own little things that they like and stuff like that.
Yeah, they all work. That's like deer rifles. There's like a million calibers that all work good. It's whatever you want to shoot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the thing. You know, like with me, I'm your typical 308 guy. I mean,
a lot of people are. It's a popular round. It's an affordable round, and they're always plentiful. You can find them anywhere, and they kill deer, and they're accurate.
That's
very
it.
Accurate.
That's it. Very accurate. I mean,
30 caliber
snipers
bullet.
Use them.
Yeah, yeah.
Snipers use them a lot.
Yeah, they do that for a reason.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. And I'll reload my own ammo and stuff like that. So I always look at the ballistics of everything and you know, what the ranges are and the speeds are. Because I want, you know, a lot of people want a fast bullet, like a 243, for example. Typically, a 243 round is going to be over 3,000 foot per second. And I don't want that. I want that 2,900 foot per second. That's what I'm after. I don't want that 3,000. 3,000 just a little too fast.
Oh, man, I'm into 3,800 to 4,000, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Speed those kills. Bullets
I know, but those bullets, a lot of times, like a smaller caliber bullet that goes that fast, they will actually just explode when they hit. So that's what's funny about them. They just it's weird how those bullets.
Well,
when
it
they
depends
get,
on the
going.
You know, the bullet you're shooting, and I like the
right.
And that Weatherby I shoot, I like the triple shocks, and they'll peel back. And a lot of times, if it doesn't pass all the way through, I can dig it out on the other side, and it's perfectly mushroomed.
Yep. There ain't no doubt.
Now, you get into the ballistic tip, some of those will explode.
Yes. Yes, they will.
Especially if you
hit
a lot of bone. They'll
they'll disintegrate. What caliber are you shooting?
257.
Okay.
That's my favorite one. I've got, you know me, I got a bunch of different guns.
Well, yeah, there ain't no doubt.
When I go get in the blind and I want to make a long shot and make sure I kill something, I'll take that old Weatherby with me. It works.
There you go.
It's never failed me.
Well, see, that's the thing, you know, that's like forever I've
but
shot
a 308.
But
that's just my preference, you know. That I mean, it's,
right, I mean.
I've killed deer with 308. I've killed them with 6.8. I've killed them with 300 mags. mags, 30-06.
I got a 300 H&H mag that I've killed deer with, but man, you just don't want to squeeze that one off too much because that thing, it gets meat on both ends.
So it's a retina detacher.
It dang sure is. It's pretty dang close. I mean, that thing, you know, most people hear of 300 mags and stuff like that, but a 300 H&H mag, that's a big round. I mean, it's
yeah, it is.
The bullet itself is almost 6 inches long.
We're killing deer, not elephants.
I know. That's crazy, but you know, it's one of those things where it's just my dad got it back in the 50s. He actually got it. I think he got it from Sears and Roebuck out of the magazine back in the 50s.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's one of those things where you know he gave it to me, and so I'm just going to continue with it and just kind of I don't really use it, but I've got it there.
Yeah. Look how many rifles that have been passed down through families that are still highly accurate and very dependable. It just
I mean, there's no doubt. You know, I finally got a 308. Typically I had a model 700 308 Remington that I used forever, and finally I think I shot the barrel out because it got to where it wasn't,
it wouldn't group.
I could never get it, yeah, it wouldn't group for nothing. I mean, it was, I'd get it where I think, okay, it's right, and I'd go out and shoot, you know, next day go shoot it again, it'd be 3 inches off. It's like, what in the world is going on? So it's got to be, you know, the barrel's just shot out. But then I got a 243 that I used for them coyotes and stuff that I put a match barrel on, and man, you talk about, that's the tack driver right there. That song on, it'll cut the same hole. I mean, it's just crazy what it'll do, and it's just a good round. So it's you know, but you know, it's a 243. You know, it's a 243 is a great.
Been a millions of deer killed with 243s.
Guarantee you there has been. I started out using them myself, and you know, but you kind of graduate, and for me, that 243 is the perfect varmint round. I mean, you get out there and take coyotes out, take, you know, any of those predators like that, you can take them out with it, and they're not, it's not one where the recoil is so bad that it just makes it to where you don't want to shoot it no more. You know, it's one of those things. That 308, I've got that open country Kimber that I shoot right now.
Yeah, it's good. And good, it's, smooth, easy recoil, and highly.
Yes, accurate. Yes, that's a great one there. I mean, I was skeptical about it at first, but after I got it and started shooting it, it's like, okay, this thing it's nice, it's smooth, it's, you know, it doesn't beat the heck out of you like that old 700 did, that model 700 did, because that 700 would knock the fire out of you, I promise you. It didn't have any mercy, I guarantee you. If you pulled it, it was going to hit you. So it's one of those things. But it, you know, it's all good. I mean, that's the thing about as you kind of grow into these weapons and start kind of moving around like a 270. I always wanted 270.
That's,
I always
that's
wanted
another
30
good out. One. I failed to name that one. That's an excellent round. I mean, that's millions of deer have been killed with those. Hey, let me, we'll come back, and I want to ask you about, you had a pretty good bass laying on your deck the other day. I saw
it. Oh, yeah. It.
We'll talk a little bit about that when I return from this break. I'll be right back, Richard.
All right, no problem, brother.
All right, you're listening to The Outdoor Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 4:35. All right, Richard.
Yep. I'll tell you what, that bass the other day, that was a nice one.
Yeah. Good fish.
I'll tell you what, it's been tough on these bass lately. Now, granted, they're kind of, I can't really tell what they're doing right now. The water temperature's still 84, right? So it's still warm. And so they're kind of hung up in this summertime mode, but they're going to be flipping to the fall type patterns here for long. You know, like today they've got this Seven Coast Bass Club's got a tournament going on out of Stallway up here. And typically they donate, it's kind of a benefit deal for Kids Unlimited is what it is. It's a group for these kids with cancer and stuff like that. So they donate a lot of stuff to them. And so this is a benefit tournament they're having up here this morning or today. And so there's usually quite a few people that enter this thing. So it'd be busy up here. But one of the things I've been noticing is, you know, typically, you know, a lot of the fish this time of year, you'll catch them offshore on brush piles and stuff like that. I've not been able to catch those fish. I don't know why I can't get them to bite. But when I move up into the shallow water, like around some of the shoreline, some of the grass in the lake, you know, which is, you know, everybody knows it's in the grass all in Caney Creek. There's some in some different spots also, but it's more sparse and things like that. And then, you know, the other thing is there's some other areas where they've been spraying it and stuff like that. And, but the areas where the grass is nice and green, if you get in there, I've been catching them on that wacky worm pretty consistently. That's one of the things I've been doing a lot lately. And, you know, typically with that wacky worm, I catch those in the spring early and late spring typically is when that works the best, you know, and then even at some towards the end of the winter months, you know, that wacky worm typically works the best, but for some reason, this year on Lake Conroe, that wacky worm's been working almost all year long. It's just, being patient enough to throw it, because it's one of the things, and I've talked about it before. Every year I've got baits that I typically, in my mind, I don't want to throw them at all. But I always, every year, I try to find that one bait that I don't like to throw, and I'll throw it all year. So I figure out, how to use it better, more efficiently, stuff like that, and make it work right. And Wacky Worm has been around forever, but that's one of those baits that I just don't like throwing. I mean, to be perfectly honest, it's too slow. I'm one of those high-speed fishermen. When it comes to bass, I don't slow down. I want a reaction strike on them. I don't want to have to finesse them into biting. I want to throw a bait out there.
That's why no one will ever remember your name. Remember that line?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
what was that movie, Troy? Nobody will ever remember your name.
That's right. But I mean, the thing is, what I've found over the years is, and bass, in general, what people don't realize or don't think about a largemouth bass is they're ambush predators.
Yeah.
They typically want to sit behind something, and when it comes by, they're just going to jump out, snatch it.
Yeah, bass are lazy, man.
They really are. They're just going to sit there, but when it comes by, they'll react to it. And that's what I want. I want that reaction strike every time.
They lay up on their territory and wait for opportunities.
That's it. That's exactly right.
They don't search and destroy like hybrids and stripers and trout and redfish and all that.
Yeah. They're not.
They stand their ground. They're kind of like a copperhead snake, man.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep, exactly. They sit right there, and when something comes by, they'll snatch it. That's like there's certain areas where, I call them resident fish. They just live in that particular spot.
That's it.
They're very territorial. I'll have people out sometimes, and I go, well, there's usually a 4-pounder right over there somewhere, so chunk around over there, and then we'll go to a different spot. Well, there's usually about a 3 over here somewhere, and they'll go, how do you know all that? Well, I catch these fish on a regular basis. They live in certain areas, and that's just what they do. Now, with that said, with the forward-facing sonar, man, you can see them. I mean, they're there now. And that's like the other day I was out, and I was fishing a dock with some lights on it, because the sun was coming up. It was, early, right before the sun came up, and these overhead lights were on. And I always fish this dock. And it's always, if I'm out there before the sun comes up a little bit, I'm going to go throw a square bill around this dock, because those fish will get in those lights and chase the bait and stuff like that. Well, I was over there the other day. It's been 2 or 3 weeks. And I threw a square bill around out there. Well, I'm looking at my forward-facing sonar where these fish are under the dock. And I'm not talking about just a little ways under. They're 20 feet under there. And it's like, it's still dark out. Why are these fish there? They're not supposed to be there. Well, I chunk a bait underneath there, and boom, catch one. I'm going, dang it. Throw another one under there, caught another one. And so it kind of defeats the old way of thinking is, when you fish underneath these docks when the sun's bright and shining right down on them, because they'll get under there looking for the shade. Well, it's dark already, and they're underneath the dock. So that kind of knocks that in into the myth stage, because it's not absolutely true on every lake, on every dock. There's fish that will actually live underneath those docks, and they won't come out. So it's one of those things where that's where you take that old egg beater and chunk it up underneath there with that Wacky Worm on it, and you'll get them. So it's one of those things. You can skip that thing under there pretty good, and you do all right. But it's historically, what I do on those docks like that, I'll just take a big old worm and pitch it underneath there, or if the water's low enough, I'll actually pitch that square bill under there, and I'll catch a lot of fish doing that, because that's one thing a lot of people won't do, is they won't take like a square bill and pitch it underneath these docks and stuff, because it's got too many hooks. They're afraid of hanging up and losing their bait. Well, If the fish are under there, I don't care. I'm going to chuck it under there, and I'm gonna get them to come out. Because I used to do that over on Lake Livingston all the time, and I won a lot of money on Livingston throwing. Used to, it was like a bomber 6.5 and 6A. Throw that thing underneath those docks. Man, those fish over there loved it. And you only had to have two colors. You either had to have a Tennessee shad or a fire tiger.
Yeah.
So have one on there, and if they were hitting one, just chunk it all day long. And I guarantee you that you would wear them out on that bait over there at Livingston. And now, you know, with the advent of these square bills, I mean, they do great too, because they, you know, they dive 3 to 5 feet depending on the square bill you got.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get in pitch it underneath those docks. You know, the biggest issue is you break bills off of them, because a lot of times, you know, we're not all as accurate as we want to be, and you'll hit the edge of that dock, and they'll bust the bill off that crankbait. So just make sure you got plenty of.
I need to make them better.
I hear you.
Put more resin in that pour, man. What are you fishing for today?
We're gonna catfish this morning. So
are you?
That's one of the things. I get some of these guys that they just want to catch a bunch of fish for the freezer. So that's what we're gonna do today.
Going on a meat haul today. Get some meat.
That's a meat haul today. And I'm going to be doing a lot of bass fishing here over the next couple of weeks, because I got that Tuesday night championships coming up in a couple of weeks. So I need to find me five of them like I had the other day. That way I have me a good limit of fish for that deal anyway. So
right.
It's, it's just, like I say, they're kind of randomly scattered. They're not anything consistent as far as the bigger bass are concerned. There's a lot of small ones out there in that shallow water too, but I've been out there scoping them deeper and stuff like that, trying to catch them out in that deeper water, and I just can't get those deeper fish to bite right now for some reason. So everything I've been catching has been, you know, less than, say, 8 feet, you know, 8 feet deep and less, and that's where everything seems to be biting for me. And when I get out there in that 12, 15 foot of water, even 18, 20 foot of water, where I can see them on my forward-facing sonar, and throw to them, I can get them to follow baits, but I just can't make them eat it for some reason. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if the water temperature needs to drop a little bit more or what, but something's going on there with those deeper fish that they're not eating for me. You know, now granted, somebody's going to catch some deep fish out there, because it always happens. You know, Lake Conroe is just typically a deep water lake as far as fishing for the bigger ones, but you know, right now, it's not my turn with those deep fish, but it's coming. You know, it's as that water temperature starts to cool down, they'll get out there and gang up bigger schools of bigger fish.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Richard. Well, I appreciate you filling in for Bill this morning, and good luck on your trip today. If somebody wants to call you about coming up and fishing with you, give them some info how they can reach out to you.
All right, Mick, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. All right, catch them up today. Good talking to you, Richard. See you, man.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
We'll do. Later.
All right,
let's hop down to Matagorda now. Let's check in with Captain Charlie P. this morning. Captain Charlie Paradosky, good morning. What's up, man?
Oh, not much. Same old song and dance.
Yeah. You got a baseball hangover this morning like I do?
No, I fell asleep. Who won it?
A game. Seattle won it in the bottom of the 15th.
No kidding.
3-2. What a game.
Wow. Well, that Philly loss the other day liked to kill me. Way it ended
too.
Up. But God darn. I even felt sorry for that pitcher.
I know.
He looked so sad. I was worried about him committing suicide.
I know. I think they got him on suicide watch. No, just a joke.
Oh.
No, yeah. That's nature of the game, buddy. It's the way it plays out sometimes.
It was a damn good game, though. You know?
Yeah, it was a good game. We've seen some good ones this I just wish the Astros were to mix all this. It'd make it even that much better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been good. It all has been good. Well, the poor Dodgers, Seattle won't come out, and now they're going to play the Blue Jays, and we're going to have some more good games.
Yeah, well, there's another West Division team making it to ALCS, so that tells you a lot about the division we play in. Very competitive.
I just hope somebody could beat them Dodgers.
Well, it's up to the Cubs or the Brewers.
Yeah. I think the Brewers have the better chance, but I don't know.
The Brewers can get rolling, but they've kind of cooled off here in the postseason. Man, I thought regular season they just walked through everybody, you know, in the playoffs. Yeah. They kind of cooled down a little bit. Maybe they'll get the stroke back. They're all fun to watch.
Maybe they're resting up. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe so. Yeah. Saving the best for last when you really need it.
There you go. Yeah. Well, nothing new in the fishing. Fishing's been good, Mickey. We've had tremendous crowds yesterday.
Y'all had that
this
big
tournament
yesterday. Yeah, oh yeah.
And I had waders, and we had no problem catching our trout. It was like a 21 tournament, except for the trout, you know, the best up to 20. Mm-hmm. And, hell, one of my guys caught a good one on the first cast. We caught the rest of our trout, spent the rest of the day trying to catch that red and flounder, and that didn't work out. But
oh, boy.
But there were a ton of fish at that cleaning table, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I've been seeing some meat.
Big meat hauls, lots of reds, lots of drum. So, no, is the wind down this morning?
No, not really. It's not as bad as yesterday, but the forecast is better for today. I think that east-northeast wind is going to peter out for you and calm down probably mid-morning through the afternoon. We're supposed to be swinging back around to southeast, so it ought to lay pretty quick today.
Well, that's good. We got another tournament starting Sunday, and
that's what Tommy was telling me. Y'all got like four tournaments out of the next 5 days or something. It's a lot.
Yeah,
got another Gadget Cup coming up next Tuesday or something, and I'm looking anywhere from 14 to 17. The more inland you go, the less it is, but right along the coast, it's, you know, a little puffy right now, east, northeast.
Yeah. We need the wind to get down a little bit so we can get back on some of those fish out in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, that everybody's been pinned to shorelines, and the tides have been, you know, pretty high, and most people are over in West Bay hammering on those redfish and drum. And a lot of people went up the river yesterday. They caught a lot of fish, not a lot of small fish, but there were some good ones caught too. So,
well, the little ones always get upstream first, and then the big ones will follow as it gets colder, getting into the winter month.
It's the same old thing, man. We got plenty of fish to catch. It's just a weather thing. We need some cooler weather, and that's it. That's what's happening.
You seeing mini shrimp? You kicking up mini shrimp while you're wade fishing?
We really caught up. We kicked up more shrimp yesterday right up against the grass.
Getting that time.
Than we have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really have. And everybody that's in West Bay is doing the same thing.
Right.
You know, they want to come out. They're right there ready to come out, and we get a good weather change, and we'll have them all over the place, I guess.
Yeah, that'll draw a lot of fish in on them shorelines, you know, when those shrimp kind of come out and they gang up shallow before they, you know, make the move out deep and all that, and birds start working everywhere. But I'm surprised there's not, especially on reds, I'm surprised there's not many birds working right next shoreline on shrimp. Reds pushing them.
That's the only thing that I don't I've personally caught less reds this year than ever before in my life. They have not been out in the middle at all. It's all been on, you know, shoreline somewhere.
Yeah. Well, they've been hanging close to the marsh, in and out of the marsh a lot.
Yeah.
And that's usually what happens when a red fishing's tough. You got to go way back in the back lakes and marsh to get them.
There's big herds of redfish in the river. The people that live on the river see them at night going by under lights, and you can't catch them in the daytime. You know, you catch a few, but not many. Well, you got plenty of fish to catch, Mickey. It'll be a good fall.
I got a text from a listener who said, if you and Captain Charlie could change one limit, what would y'all change? What species of fish?
Croaker. Make croaker a game fish. Let them get big. Give people something else to catch.
Yeah.
Take some pressure off everything else.
I didn't even think of that. That didn't even cross my mind. That's a good one. You're right.
Damn,
you know,
right.
We've been seeing a few bigger croaker, not a lot of them, but a lot nicer croaker this year than we have in a while over here. You know, the guys that are fishing for them. I mean, that's what they want to catch. And I've seen some nice little piles of 12, 14-inch croakers. Saw one. Somebody caught one about 16 inches at Seawolf the other day. They posted up. That's like the old days when you'd fill a whole cooler up, you know, that size.
Yeah, remember they used to catch them on a beachfront.
Yeah,
you know, they used to first start catching them on that 61st Street Pier.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yep. Well, and Fisher's Reef was a big-time croaker hole back in the day when we had a lot of them. That was the croaker run of Trinity Bay. Fisher's Reef was it was like a staging area for them before they, you know, hit the channel and moved down to the jetties, you know, to go out. Or they'd pile up on Fisher's.
And Gulf trout, too.
Oh, man. Remember all those
pictures? What the hell happened to our Gulf trout?
That's Jesus. What I'd like to know. Man, that was... you're having a slow day on specs. I mean, hey, you can fill a cooler up with, you know, 2 and 3 pound Gulf trout. Big time.
No doubt. No doubt. I was going to have nightmares about having to clean all them fish. Don't tell me. No.
Well, if I had a limit change, I'd move the trout back to 5 and spread that slot out a little bit. You know, give them another inch or two on either end. Hey, go from 14 to 21 or something.
I think they have it right where they want it.
Little fish getting killed, man. Everybody weeding through these big schools of pencils and a lot of 14-inch trout get turned back that hadn't got a snowball's chance in Hades of making it.
That's true.
That's true,
but I think they got it where they want it. I don't know.
It's just, it don't matter. They're always going to have that. All right, Charlie P. Well, hey, if somebody wants to come over to Matagorda and fish with you this winter, give them a number where they can reach you.
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Good talking to you, man. You have a good day. Good luck to you.
Take care, Mickey.
All right, brother. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.